Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
The new Bernstein and McKnight Show. Middays 9 a.m. to 1.
David Bodie, the guy who actually hit it. They tear your uniform off like it's the Beatles in 1965.
I was running bases. I knew my arm was up, and I was like, put your arm down, put your arm down. And I just couldn't. I couldn't put it down.
The new Bernstein and McKnight Show. Middays 9 a.m. to 1. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Who is 670 The Score? We're Chicago's original sports talk station. Chicago's only all-Chicago sports talk station. Covering all of Chicago's teams. And when breaking Chicago sports news happens, we'll break in with all the details. Guaranteed. Keep streaming The Score to your computer or device for the best sports talk in Chicago. We are Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Get it done.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score. Our radio.com station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score!
This hour is brought to you by Continental Motors. Searching for a Maserati Levante? Search ContinentalMaserati.com for the Continental Difference.
Jonah Carey.
Yeah, great to see you.
Me too. I don't know who you are, but it's great to see you.
CBS Sports and the Jonah Carey Podcast.
He's thrown his pillow, he's thrown his nightcap, and Yuppie's been thrown out of the ball game.
Tim Raines, enthusiast.
Tim Raines, yeah! Welcome to the Hall of Fame. Tim was rock solid playing.
Is that right,
Jonah Carey with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Jonah Carey is on Twitter at Jonah Carey. He of CBS Sports and the Jonah Carey Podcast. It is Friday at noon. That means he is here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Hello, Jonah.
Hey, fellas. How are you?
I'm good. I heard something last night. I was listening to the Cub game on these very airwaves, and they're talking about Anthony Rizzo and the home run that he hit a couple days ago, and said, you know, it certainly seems like home runs come in bunches.
Hmm.
And I've heard that, and we've all heard that. I'm sure plenty of work has been done, the idea of these groupings of home run hitters binging. Is it true, or do we just remember the binges when they happen more than we remember the everything else?
Yeah, it's confirmation bias. There is no truth to it if you hold all conditions to be neutral, but sometimes conditions are not neutral. For instance, you might hit four home runs in 3 days. Why would that happen? Maybe you're facing the Kansas City Royals pitching staff, and Jeremy Guthrie has come out of retirement and is throwing you 80-mile-an-hour meatballs, and so you beat up on that team, and then, oh, you're in the AL Central? Cool, now we're going to get a run of the Tigers and then the Twins, and, you know, you could just run through where your schedule becomes really favorable, and there could be something psychological to it, so maybe you build on it, and, you know, maybe you're able to do that, but I do think that most of it plays in terms of circumstances, and, you know, frankly, we almost prepare for the narrative. I can't remember if it was with you guys, but not that long ago, the Nationals had this big players-only meeting. The players-only meeting. Everything was going to turn. And then I believe it was that night or the next night or whatever, they had a walk-off. And everyone said, this is it. This is the moment for the Nationals. And it was not the moment for the Nationals. Mm-hmm. The Nationals continued to play stinky baseball. So it's almost gotten to the point with narratives where we're anticipating the narrative before it even happens. So, yeah, Rizzo could go on to hit five home runs in the next five games. But if he doesn't, nobody will say anything. They'll be like, well, that doesn't matter. We're going to take the examples that work and prove our theory and discard everything else, the very definition of confirmation bias.
Looking all across the league, I find that A's team to be just absolutely dynamic. They're a lot of fun. I don't know how they're doing it. I don't know how Billy Bean is choosing to do it anymore. I don't know that Billy Bean is choosing all of the things that the Oakland A's do anymore. What's the most interesting part of that Oakland team to you?
Well, some of the individual performances, these are relatively anonymous players, but I'll give you an example. Do you know how good a season Marcus Semien is having? And it's particularly the last two or three months. But he's really good. I mean, like, all-star quality shortstop good. It's Marcus Semien. How many of fans could pick him out of the lineup? I don't think that many, but he's been really, really good. How many people know who Matt Chapman is? You know, I think if you're a baseball diehard, you do, but Chapman is this really good two-way player. He's a great defender. He hits for power. I mean, it's not the exact same skill set, but there was like an Evan Longoria starter set in there. That's pretty darn good.
Yeah, we had a Matt Chapman show a couple days ago where I gave some numbers and I said, who is this player? And I gave a bunch of numbers. And then for whatever reason, all other baseball discussion roads started to lead to Matt Chapman. And then I find out yesterday, he's the best fielder in all of baseball by defensive runs saved.
Yep, he's a monster fielder, so he just needs to hit adequately. And, in fact, he's got some pop, too. He plays across the diamond from Olsen, who can hit. Chris Davis is, like, one of the most consistent power hitters in the league. And the pitching staff gets it done. You know, Sean Manaea is not a big strikeout guy, but he's been pretty darn good. And, like, Edwin Jackson's pitching well. And then they loaded up their bullpen. They made so many trades that all of a sudden they have a really deep bullpen. So it's just that the team is anonymous. Like, you know, if you have the NBA game of the week, okay, it's LeBron versus Curry or whatever. If it's Oakland versus the Yankees, you say Aaron Judge versus Marcus Semien. Like, there just is no guy. You know what I mean? So I think that's why people are a bit perplexed. But this is a team that doesn't really have any weaknesses. And if you're strong once for 25, sometimes that could be better than star power. The Angels have the best player in baseball. They're going to miss the playoffs again.
It is your time right now to win $1,000 in cash on the score. The hour's keyword is sand. Text sand to 72881 by the end of the hour. Again, the keyword, sand, 72881. One randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win. Don't text and drive. Message and data rates may apply. We also listed, Jonah, some numbers that illustrate how much the Cubs continue to fight themselves despite being really, really good at baseball. They've got this baseline talent level. They have this wonderful defense. And yet, they're 25th. Their offense is 25th out of 30 teams in hard contact. They're 21st in home runs. They're 21st, oddly enough, in home runs per fly ball. That's on the offensive side. On the pitching side, their walk rate is nearly historic. Their overall pitching staff, one of the worst walk rates in the last 100 years, apparently, wow, according to Joe Sheehan. And they also have their relievers are walking 11.3% of batters. I mean, it's amazing how they make their own life so difficult.
Well, but part of it is out of their control, particularly on the hitting side. I mean, you know, what are we talking about with the Cubs? They have a deep team, but this is the Rizzo and Bryant team. Rizzo, we're getting excited because he hit a home run. Oh, well, Anthony Rizzo. I mean, he should be 35 bombs automatic. And Bryant, poor guy, has really fought it all year with the injuries. And it feels like even when he's in the lineup, we don't know if he's 100%. And now we don't know when he's going to come back and how good he'll be or whatever. That's big. You know, that's not that far from taking Lindor and Ramirez out of the Cleveland lineup or taking Betts and JDM out of the Red Sox lineup. These are elite players. These are MVP caliber players when they're healthy. That's going to hurt you. I don't care about all these Almora breakout here and Javi Baez breakout there and, oh, I really like Cishek or whatever. You know, your two stars are really hurting. That's no good. The bullpen is an issue. There's no question about it. And they seem to have enough personnel, right? I mean, when all hands are on deck, you've got Edwards who's good. You've got Cishek who's got a good track record. Strope's been, you know, all right as a fill-in closer. When Morrow is healthy, he's capable. It's just that, you know, one thing goes wrong, another thing goes wrong. Fill-ins don't necessarily work out. And it's not for lack of trying. They went out, they got Darvish and Chatwood. They addressed the bullpen. They got some more guys there. The lineup is mostly the same as it was before, but honestly, the young guys have developed. Like, Happ is better, Almora is better, Baez is better. By all accounts, this should be a better team. It just kind of hasn't all clicked the way it did 2 years ago.
Jonah, the White Sox have finally have something very positive to hang a hat on, or at least some sort of, you know, coverage on for this season. Carlos Rodon has returned, thrown 80 innings, holds a 2.7 ERA. His whip is right around one. The strikeouts are down overall, but his last six, he's got 36 strikeouts only against 14 walks, and that's a guy who struggled with the walk. Should the White Sox fan be excited about Carlos Rodon, reassured about Carlos Rodon, given the shoulder injury that he had and coming back from this? I find it unbelievable that he's able to throw the way he's throwing despite the surgery he had.
Well, first of all, it's got devastating raw stuff. When he came into even professional ball, just pitching in the minors, wow, that slider. Mm. I mean, that's what all the team heads were talking about. This guy has one of the best sliders that we've seen, period. Forget about it in the White Sox system or whatever. It's just really, really good. And when his command of it is good, it sets everything else up. And all of a sudden, his fastball plays up, and he can do anything he wants. And he's been able to mostly locate that pitch. The high walk rate that we talked about in the past, not really an issue now. So all of a sudden, you know, you've got a guy who can wield his best pitches to great effect, who still has, he always had the swing and miss stuff. That was always there. But can, you know, if guys aren't going to chase, he can paint as well. It's very exciting. And I think that's what they were hoping for with Giolito and Ronaldo Lopez and all that stuff. And it should give them hope that if you just stay patient with young pitchers, they can pan out. How many of these guys, I mean, look at Jake Arrieta, had no career until he became a Cub. Kevin Gausman, I feel like we should just go down the list of Orioles pitchers that they gave up on.
They can go anywhere.
Yeah, Kevin Gausman looks really good all of a sudden with Atlanta. Like, it's just, it takes time. Not everybody comes out of it the womb fully formed. You know, look at me, I'm Doc Gooden. Like, that's pretty, or Kerry Wood. That doesn't happen very often. It's pitching is a hard concept. And unlike, you know, batting where you often can peak early. Now the peak age can be 24, 25. It takes a while to really combine your stuff with your pitchability, with your ability to understand how to get guys out, when to take the foot off the throttle, all that stuff. And good for Rodon for figuring out, maybe quicker than we expected, given how recent the injury is.
I'm going to give you a slash line here and some numbers, Jonah. If you have a barf bag, I suggest that you have it handy. Because it is this, 218, 295, 321. That's average on base and slugging. Mm-hmm. Isolated power of 103. A WRC plus of 58.
Ugh.
That is Kyle Schwarber after the All-Star break.
Wow.
What's going on?
Great question. I mean, I don't have anything for you. I mean, we can go to exit velocity, we can go to launch angle or whatever, but since the All-Star break is a month, so we're talking about a month's worth of data, he's just not hitting the ball as hard as he did. Why that is, it could be a mechanical thing, which maybe even Schwarber hasn't figured out, quite frankly. I'm thinking about the Cubs' schedule over the last month. I don't think it's been like the hardest schedule.
Nope.
It's not like they're facing Jacob deGrom every day, so that's not it.
Nope.
No, it could just be that he's out of luck. You know, it is a small sample thing, and guys go in and out of these things. I think the test will come what happens in the next 30 days. You know, if he's putting up a WRC plus of 56 again, okay, then Kyle Schwarber might be broken or injured or something. It just might be a slump at the wrong time. But, he's a different kind of hitter now. Like, he's not trying to be Ruffian. He's not trying to be Jim Thome. He's trying to – the book on him, right, was that he was trying to make more contact, that he slid down, that he was trying to be a more complete hitter or whatever. And maybe there are growing pains that go with that. Maybe the idea of being the three true outcomes guy that he was before and trying to get off of that a little bit, especially because the Cubs have really emphasized contact on this team. They're really – especially in 16, they were a high-contact ball club. Maybe, tweaking things doesn't necessarily come naturally to everybody. And he's a young player, and he's working through all of that. I think that's possible as an explanation. Could also just be random noise within the span of 1 month.
I know the conversation could be very similar for Addison Russell after 4 years, well, 3 full years, and this is what's so far this season in the big leagues. He is a terrific defensive shortstop. A lot of his value comes from that. But he is rough offensively. This year may be his worst, even though he posted 3 months, 2.5 months of maybe his best offensive baseball. Does your long-term projection, when does it start to change for Addison Russell, if it hasn't already, despite the fact that he's 24?
I could easily see Addison Russell being reacquired by the Oakland Athletics. They move Semmy into second base, and that's the end of that. Or something to that effect. I think that, I don't believe in change of scenery, but I think teams will take a shot on a guy like that for that reason. And, the Cubs can go in another direction. They can play Baez as their everyday shortstop. They can find another way without doing it this way. I don't know that it makes sense to be that patient with him. After a while, you kind of have to move on. And you mentioned the team, the power being down. Russell's not one of those guys who's going to suddenly turn it on. Like, his power upside is not nearly what some of the big guys are. And he doesn't have the same approach. And he's just, even at his best, he wasn't as good as the best players. So I think that that's, there's a possibility that it could be his last year as a Cub. As a side note, by the way, I don't know if this gets talked about enough because he's not having a terrible season. His on base is pretty good, and he's healthy, and he's a good defensive catcher, and he's becoming a team leader. But gee, I expected more from Wilson Contreras.
Yep.
Do people talk about that a lot?
Yes.
I thought he would be 25-30 homer guy by now, and it just hasn't been there. He's good. Like, he's not a bad player, but the Baez year that he's having, I thought Contreras would have a year like that too. I just loved him. I thought he'd be like a 5-time All-Star. He's just merely a good player right now, which is, I guess, young players go through that, but that's been a disappointment too.
Well, it's been exacerbated, as you say, by Rizzo not being Rizzo and Bryant not being there, and the fact that you have Ben Zobrist finding whatever he's got left at his advanced age. It gets back to the larger picture, and I thought that Connor did a really good job of this a couple of days ago. He said that these Cubs are the Millennium Falcon, in that it's still the fastest ship in the galaxy, but you might have to slam
a
panel into place.
Together.
Yeah, you're going to feel some bolts rattling a little bit, but ultimately it can still make the Kessel run.
I feel like Julio Jones' nickname should be the Millennium Falcon. I got nothing else to tell you on this. It's a good analogy.
It speaks to the idea that it always seems like that something isn't quite firing. I just wonder, is it 2016 teaching too many of us the wrong lessons, a too perfect run?
Well, I mean, yes and no. Like, I mean, anytime you win the World Series, you've achieved the 99th percentile outcome, right? You had a whole bunch of things go your way. I mean, heck, off the field, apparently people were willing to put up with Aroldis Chapman and all that came with him, and they won the World Series, and he was on the mound. Like, well, he didn't make the final out, but he was there, you know, when it counted. So lots of things went well. That's totally true. But I don't think it was unrealistic to expect some of those young guys to get better. And in fact, Javier Baez got a lot better. Javier Baez is an MVP candidate. Javier Baez used to be a guy who swung from his from his brain, twisted himself into the ground, occasionally ran into one, and was a great defender. Now he's like a complete hitter, and he swagged to the max. He's a great, great player. He's a joy. Contreras has had an off year this year, but he's still come a long way. You know, overall, very good defensive catcher, does some things well. Rizzo and Bryant are still young. They went out, they spent money on pitching. Like, if that was a 99th percentile season, this is like a 35th or 40th percentile season, and they still might win the NL Central because they have that much talent. That's the beauty of having good players is, yeah, you could be disappointed in a whole bunch of stuff, but you know what? Milwaukee's best pitcher is like Junior Guerra and, I don't know, Pete Vukovich. Like, you could end up winning anyway. Like, that would really be nice. And, of course, once you punch your ticket to the dance, then anything can happen. Maybe Wilson Contreras or Anthony Rizzo gets hot to win another World Series with a team that wasn't as good as 2 years ago. Hey, everybody's got a shot at it, and you can be disappointed all you want. But again, they're in position to maybe win another division title. Pretty remarkable.
Jonah, we found out this morning that MLB suspended Jose Ureña 6 games for beating Ronald Acuna. Is that enough? Should it have been more? Should it have been less? Should they have let well enough alone?
So I was asked this question on another show yesterday. They asked me, how many games do you think he'd be suspended? Because it was blatant, and blah, 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 blah. And they didn't want it to be, the host did not want it to be only 5 games because that's only one start. I said, I think that they're going to jerry-rig something so that it's going to make it seem like it's more than one start, but it's not going to be. Mm-hmm. I predicted 9 games, which is the same as 6 or 7 or 8, and it was 6. So the bottom line here is proving intent. This is what I was harping on the other day. You and I both know that Jose Ureña drilled the guy. Acuña was hitting home runs left and right, whatever. This was the hardest pitch, according to StatCast, that Ureña had thrown all season long, 97. I mean, he pelted him, absolutely drilled him, and the message was received or whatever. But Ureña can argue that he was throwing high and tight like Bob Gibson, and he just wanted to own the plate and not let this guy step on him because he was on a hot streak. And what do you do? Do you give him a lie detector test? Do you bring in a psychotherapist? This is not something that can be done in baseball. It should be. I think you should be able to prove intent. If everybody in the world is sitting there saying, no, duh, then that should happen. His own teammates were like, that wasn't cool, bro. Like, what are you doing? And it's frustrating to me, but that's where we're at in baseball. Like, if somebody throws a punch at somebody, okay, you throw a punch at him, you can go accordingly. The mysticism with which pitching is treated, oh, wow, we don't know about the secrets and did he really lose that pitch or not, is one of the most frustrating things in baseball. And something that drives me more crazy almost than anything is headhunting. Whether it's sending a message, if you hit the guy in the ribs, it's all headhunting to me, because if you miss, you can hit the guy in the head and then you or the face, and you have a big, big problem, and I don't like it. If you want to retaliate a guy, hit a 3-run bomb against him. That's the way that I would do it. In basketball, if you're upset with a person, you don't punch him in the face. You don't throw a basketball at his face. You dunk on him. That's what you do. So do the baseball equivalent of dunking on a guy and then move on. And, you know, style it around the bases. Run around the bases backwards if you want to. Be as gloaty as you want to be, but don't try to injure somebody. I do not like that. I never accept that there's no excuse for it.
Yeah, I don't want to get into necessarily debating whether or not Keith Hernandez is right or wrong or whatever. Nonsense kind of speaks for itself. But I'll use him as an avatar since he put himself out there to be such. Do you get the sense that that is leaving Major League Baseball? Is it being drummed up again in Major League Baseball? Or is it just kind of staying the same? Where is that mindset?
Well, I think that we need to back up a second and say the pitchers don't throw inside as much as they used to, whether it is the old quote or quote-unquote own the inside part of the plate, brush guys back, or flat-out hit them. I don't know about HBP rates. I'd need to go back and look. They might be the same as before, but, you know, I'll go anecdotally, which I rarely do, but you think about players from past eras, and I'm not cherry-picking the Drysdales and the Gibsons. Rank-and-file guys in the 80s and 90s, they would establish their fastball inside, and you don't see that as much now. Now, it could be that because we're in the airball revolution and everybody's uppercutting, that you don't want to miss. If you go throw inside and it's down and in, forget it. Every lefty hitter is putting the thing in the bleachers, and maybe it's, you know, taking the guy outside messes with their timing. Maybe taking the guy outside helps in terms of shifts. you know, that it causes you to roll over on something weak. All of those things could be true, but I just don't get that sense. So I think there might be something there to the idea that there's less than what it was, and I'm trying to avoid the greatest hits theory that everybody was Bob Gibson because they weren't. But based on, you know, just kind of watching the game a lot, it seems like there's a little bit less. That's certainly fewer, like, all-out brawls. That is definitely the case, because I think the players have decided it's not worth it. The money that they make right now, they don't need to go in the DL because somebody stepped on their foot in a brawl. Like, that'd be ridiculous. So I think you're seeing less of that because there's just more. And for that matter, in hockey and other sports, basketball, you said Kermit Washington and Stojanovic, for God's sake. I mean, there were some brutal, brutal things that happened in every sport literally just a generation ago that just don't happen now. Just kind of more button-up professionalism, I think a more collegial atmosphere between teams in general, and more self-preservation, which, you know, ultimately is a good thing. We want to see guys perform and hit home runs and make three-pointers, not necessarily punch each other in the face.
Jonah, thanks. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys.
That is Jonah Carey, brought to you by Spot Hero. Finally, here's a way you can save time parking. Use Spot Hero anytime you park. First-time users can enter promo code SMART for $10 off. Spot Hero, park smarter. Theo Epstein, the president of baseball operations for the Cubs, was on the station yesterday with McNeil and Parkins. He was terrific.
It was a good chat.
When you could hear him over the roars of the Thunderbirds in the background, the F-16s. I was sitting in my car.
Same.
It was funny.
The house.
I was sitting in my car outside the house listening to the interview as I pulled up, and I could see the planes go roaring over me right after they came through the speakers on the seven-second delay. It was really sort of a strange thing.
Every summer, yeah. I have that moment where you hear the roar, and my mind goes, oh, that's just they're practicing for the air and water show. Remember, that's what this is. But your body goes, oh, my God, it's coming.
Yeah, like a fight or flight
thing.
You
just can't control it.
Yeah, and then you see them, and you're like, oh, that's really cool because they're moving.
Yeah, that's
very,
an awesome, very, awesome very sound.
Fast, yeah. And he talked a lot about Chris Bryant and kind of pinned him down on what's going on with Bryant's shoulder. He did not deny the likelihoods of what's going on in Bryant's shoulder, but some of the most interesting stuff was about the struggles of Jose Quintana.
Hmm.
And I think you'll want to hear that if you missed it, and maybe even if you heard it, you want to hear it again, because there's a lot of information that Theo Epstein gave us about how he feels Quintana is doing relative to career performance now that he's become a Cub. That's coming up next on The Score.
Mully and Hall, Chicago's sports morning show.
Jim Hickey, the Cubs pitching coach.
You know, we haven't gotten those dominant types of starts. I don't think I feel any extra responsibility because you take it as serious as you can take it day in and day out, whether you're in first place or whether you're in last place. The results have been disappointing as a whole so far.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
This is John Feinstein with a CBS Sports Minute. The list of power players in the NCAA that I've known through the years who I found both likable and trustworthy is a short one. Carl Benson was on that list. Yesterday, he announced he'll retire as commissioner of the Sun Belt Conference next year. Benson was the commissioner of three conferences during the last 28 years, the MAC, the WAC, and finally the Sun Belt. I got to know him when he was on the NCAA Basketball Committee, a group generally about as trustworthy as Bernie Madoff. Benson was an exception. He listened to what those of us representing the media had to say and was always honest. He was also willing to discuss disagreements. More important, he was an excellent commissioner who had the respect of all those he worked with. He kept the Sun Belt alive, even as it was being raided constantly during the seismic conference shifts of the last 10 years. I don't say this often about commissioners. Carl Benson will be missed. I'm John Feinstein.
It's Flo, with a super weird word, nightgown. If you ask me, it sounds less like clothes you wear to bed and more like things you say to your clothes. Good night, capri pants, sleep tight sweaters, nightgown. We've got a big day tomorrow. Now a weird word I just made up, flotection. It sounds like great protection for your new home through me and Progressive, and that's because it is. I said good night, capri pants, go to sleep.
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Hey there, I'm a glue stick, so I have one job. I glue kids' stuff. So sorry for being jealous of Geico, who does a ton more, like give you 24/7 access to thousands of licensed agents. And Geico has been around for over 75 years and has a 97% customer satisfaction rating. While I've just got mediocre adhesive skills, Geico also has an award-winning mobile app. Uh-oh, arts and crafts time. No eating the glue stick, Miss Lydia!
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Imagine your dream carpet installed for free. The Home Depot offers all-inclusive free installation on minimum purchases of $699. No hidden fees and no surprises. So the dream carpet you want comes at the price you were expecting. Imagine free carpet installation that's actually free. The Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid on carpet priced $1 or more per square foot. Specialty items may be priced separately. License numbers available at homedepot.com/license numbers.
Summer's here, and that means a trip to Circle K, home of the one and only Polar Pop Cup. We're here to help you keep cool. In fact, you can't imagine anything colder. And Circle K lets you choose your Polar Pop Cup, your favorite flavor, or create your own custom masterpiece in the coolest cup around. Only 89 cents every day. Polar Pop lets you do you. Only at Circle K. Polar Pop!
Sam 76 from Sam Adams has the refreshing drinkability of a lager, but the delicious flavor of an ale. So, an ale-ger? Just try the damn beer. Sam 76. Hard to explain, easy to drink. Boston Beer Company, Boston, Mass. Savor the flavor responsibly.
I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. We've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates. Our exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, we lock your interest rate for up to 90 days. Then, if rates go up, your rate stays locked. But if rates go down, your rate drops. Either way, you win. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed-rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6.
Cubs center fielder Albert Almora. Do you enjoy the break?
Yeah, man. You definitely need it as a more, I don't think physical. I think the mental part of the game, man, is you need that mental reset. And I usually like going fishing. I usually like going to Miami and relax and, you know, head to the water for a day or two. But, you know, with the, you know, due to what happened, and plus we ended up in San Diego. I don't think we were going to the end of the day. We stay in Chicago and we're enjoying family time. I'm enjoying my son a lot more. So that's all I can really control. And I'm taking it all in, man. I'm really not trying to think about baseball.
You know, the mahi-mahi still will bite in November after you guys win the World Series.
Oh, man, I'm excited to get up there.
The McNeil and Parkin Show, afternoons 1 to 6, only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Thanks for streaming The Score,
Chicago's original and number one sports station, and of course, your official radio home of the Cubs.
Where in 2018, you'll hear me, Pat Hughes,
and me, Ron Coomer, deliver all the excitement and action of Cubs baseball.
Swing a line drive down the left field line, base hit, Cubs win. Anthony Rizzo with a game winner. High fly ball, deep right field, get out, the tape measure, long gone. Kyle Schwarber's second home run of the game.
Bryant Flood to center his first time, drives one in the air, deep left field, down the line. If it's fair, it's long gone. That ball is a fair ball, home run. Russell drives one in the air to left field. If it's fair, it's going to leave the yard. That ball is a three-run homer. Addison Russell with a three-run home run.
Listen to every Cubs game right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Chicago's official radio home of the Cubs.
This is Bruce Lammers, president of Byline Small Business Capital. When it comes to business lending, we're all about finding solutions. I'm here with Brian Vanderwall of Vanderwall & Associates. We help Brian secure long-term SBA financing for both real estate and operating capital.
The Byline Small Business Capital team was able to provide me the opportunity to be more creative and branch out into more markets because I had the proper financing mechanism. Instead of looking at our assets as a service business, the Byline Small Business Capital team looked at our cash flow, looked at our projections, and really saw the need to grow. I think the decision-making process was quite amazing how fast it happened. They asked for all the right information of a small business, analyzed it quickly, had the leadership to make quick decisions. And that's not typical for a lender.
Byline Bank. We make it personal and listen to what matters to you. On the web at bylinebank.com. That's bylinebank.com. Member FDIC.
Circle K's Polar Pop lets you do you. Choose your Polar Pop cup, favorite flavor, or create your own custom masterpiece. Only 89 cents every day. Only at Circle K.
1,000 borrowed.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Bernstein and McKnight brought to you by Northwestern Football. Coach Fitz and the Wildcats host Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, Illinois, and more this fall at Ryan Field. Season and single game tickets are on sale now at nusports.com. Theo Epstein was on with McNeil and Parkins on these airwaves yesterday, and he was asked, what's going on with the continued struggles of Jose Quintana?
I think, and to be fair to him, I think, honestly, he's someone who, like last year, doesn't get enough credit for what he did. He was outstanding after joining the Cubs last year, and I genuinely feel, it's not spin, but I genuinely feel like we don't win the division last year without him, and we don't get to our third straight NLCS without him. So I don't think he's appreciated enough for what he did last year. And that said, to be fair and objective, you know, yeah, I think, you know, thus far this year, of course, you know, elements of his performance and probably the body of his work overall is a bit of a disappointment. He would be the first one to tell you that because he's such a stand-up guy and holds himself to really high standards. So I think the important thing to remember, though, is that the story is not written yet. There are a lot of big games ahead, and he's very capable of getting locked in. He's just, you know, just a lot of little things aren't going quite right for him. Just, you know, the command of his fastball in certain areas of the strike zone, the consistency of finish on his curveball, the comfort with the changeup, so his ability to make that like a true third weapon for him. And, you know, those are all areas that, based on his track record and the broader body of work, those should improve. But no excuses. Like, we're not there yet. We're not at that point. And he's been uncharacteristically wild for him and unable to pitch his style of game, which is getting ahead and getting a lot of outs with the fastball, a lot of outs in three pitches or less, a lot of pop-ups and weak contact, beating guys above the barrel. And he's working at it, though. He's got the ability. And he has the mindset. He's not afraid. It just hasn't happened yet. And look, he's not alone. I think our starting pitching overall has been not up to our standards. And I speak collectively with including our starting rotation. They would all say that we have better in front of us, and we got to take responsibility for that, the pitching infrastructure and everything. We're just, right now, we're not where we need to be.
Nope, there you have it. That's not hiding from anything there. And yeah, he was better than maybe his primary numbers showed last year when you looked in some of the peripherals, but it's not happening. And we kept getting to spin rate. We kept just looking at each one of his pitches. It's just not moving through the air the same way.
Yeah, you talk about getting quick outs like that, pop-ups like that, three pitches or less. That's not, I mean, at no point in that did Theo talk about swing and miss, right? I mean, I'm not saying that he had to. I'm not saying that, but it's not something he pointed out when talking about Q. It was more so about, you know, controlling an at bat and getting weak contact. That's been something Joe's talked about on the show with us. That's something Theo's talked about some, and I imagine Jed will talk about it too, knowing the pitching staff they have. I mean, how likely is it that you ask John Lester, Jose Quintana, Kyle Hendricks, Mike Montgomery to go out and get 8 strikeouts in 6 innings like Lester did last night? Certainly it's an accomplishment, and it's something to look at, and it's a bounce back.
It flies in the face of what Joe told us, that they're not necessarily looking to increase swing and miss and not looking to increase strikeouts, and maybe it was just a function of what John Lester was doing, that they weren't trying to get the strikeouts where they just happened to. But
yeah, I think some of that is. I think you got a zone last night that helped a little bit. The cutter was really good, and Pirates have been swinging at changeups since their swashbuckling days, right? I mean, that's a team that will go for that pitch.
I think that with Quintana, when he says wild, I wonder if Theo is talking about wild out of the zone with non-competitive pitches in at-bats, or if he means wild too much of the plate.
I know what I'm concerned with. It's the wild too much of the plate.
Yeah, wild in the strike zone.
I've watched a lot of Quintana, especially going back to, you know, the White Sox work that I did, and that's when he gets most tagged. It's not so much the missing and walking batters, because that's not what he does. He throws a lot of strikes, and sometimes too many of them are hitter strikes and not pitcher strikes. That's when things kind of get weird and wonky for him.
Yeah, if you're just joining us, the pitching doctor here, Connor McKnight, went through some of the data.
Sad hospital if I'm the pitching doctor.
Regarding John Lester's start last night, and tried to figure out where the difference was and what they've seen. There were some more curveballs thrown. There were some more changeups mixed in, and he said he was using a little bit more, and it sounded like that Lester was willing to concede that when things get tough for him, he goes to his blankie, and his blankie is the fastball and the cutter, and that maybe he was just being too easily scouted in certain situations, and he needed to mix it up a little bit and needed to, as you noticed, pull back a little bit and give more differentials in speed between the different pitches.
That's what it seemed like to me. And if there is a blankie, it's probably the cutter, because that's what he threw fewer of during considering his last two starts, 22 in the one where he got lit by the Nats and just 14 last night against the Pirates. A lot more changeups, many more changeups, six or seven more changeups than in a usual start for him, at least given what he's done since the break. And that seemed to be the work. Although he said, too, Lester said, this isn't a fix-all. We didn't find a fix-all. This is an approach that changed some things, that tweaked some stuff. It's a lineup that I knew I could throw that changeup to, and good scouting. You know, good on you. Way to look at that lineup and figure out how you dance around it. And that's maybe what the rotation has to do from here on out.
The Schwarber thing, though, man. Those second half numbers. That's 24 games. That's not a rough week.
You don't want me to do the Addison Russell numbers since the break, do you?
Since the break?
Because it's not good.
Well, you're talking about 58 WRC plus?
Yeah.
That's like don't bring a bat. And he's not walking. His walk rate is down from 16.5% to 10%.
And Javi Baez has, you know, worn his little slump here. His, you know, 2-for-20 something or whatever he's been going through. I mean, it's been a rough week and a half, 2 weeks for him as well. I mean, that's what this offense looks like when you don't have the engine in the middle of it, whether that's Javi or Bryant or Rizzo, however it works, I mean, or whomever it's going to be, you're lacking that engine right in the middle.
Are you getting enough reviews from Bears practice to draw a conclusion with how those last 2 days went?
No. No, I know there's been a lot of praise of Mitchell Trubisky from both sides, from the Bears coaching staff and from the Broncos as well.
It's interesting. The Broncos general manager will talk about Mitchell Trubisky, and the Bears general manager is nowhere to be found. How about that?
I hadn't thought about that. Right. Well, John Elway's always going to find you a camera. Put that
Elway talks more than like any GM.
Yeah, he loves
it. So he's kind of a bad barometer.
Yeah, but I like it, though. I mean, why not?
You like him, or you like the fact that he talks?
We hear Theo and Jed all the time.
No. You're right in saying that Ryan Pace should have spoken once Roquan Smith signed. He should have made himself available there. I don't know why he didn't. It seems to me that if he's not, he's not a talker. He's not a guy who goes out there and talks. He doesn't see value in it, apparently. Which says to me that he's very happy with whatever perception is out there. Whatever he thinks this perception is of Roquan, the Bears, the CAA, all that's the relationship is fine with him. However we're perceiving it, he doesn't want to change it.
We got another chance for you to win $1,000 in cash in just a couple of moments, and I'm not going to do it belatedly. I apologize last time I did, and I'm sorry. I shouldn't do that to you. So I want to make sure you have your opportunity forthwith. And I want to get to what could be a developing problem for the Bears that might need to be addressed, and it's something that absolutely cannot happen, and they got to figure out if indeed it is something that is happening.
Bears panic? We got big voice guy, right? Somewhere.
We'll get to it next on The Score.
The Bears continue their preparation for game one of the regular season. And here at The Score, we're continuing to report on their progress with breaking Bears news, injury updates, Mark Grody and Chris Emma's live reports from the practice field, and of course, our unmatched team of Bears experts. So keep it here. We are Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com.
Imagine your dream carpet installed for free. The Home Depot offers all-inclusive free installation on minimum purchases of $699. No hidden fees and no surprises. So the dream carpet you want comes at the price you were expecting. Imagine free carpet installation that's actually free. The Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid on carpet priced $1 or more per square foot. Specialty items may be priced separately. License numbers available at homedepot.com/license numbers.
Home, then you need to call Team Hochberg. Meet Jake. Jake's heard hundreds of Team Hochberg's ads, so naturally he called Team Hochberg when he purchased a home, right? Wrong. Jake contacted his realtor's preferred lender, and that was a bad move. The realtor's preferred lender declined Jake's loan due to lack of assets, so he called Team Hochberg, which he should have done in the first place, because Team Hochberg approved Jake's loan after he secured a $2,000 gift from his mother. Gifts from family is an acceptable asset. So let's review. Jake's realtor's preferred lender declined his loan due to lack of assets, and Team Hochberg secured Jake a mortgage on his new home after he got a $2,000 gift from his mom. You are purchasing the home. It's your decision which lender you use, which means you don't have to use anyone's preferred lender. If you're purchasing a home and you want your loan approved before meeting with a realtor, call Team Hochberg. Call them now, 312 751-1333 or visit pearldavid.com. Team Hochberg has helped thousands of Score listeners, but they can't help if you don't call. 312-751-1333 or visit pearldavid.com. Pearl Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, Illinois Residential Mortgage License C4358, NMLS.
Circle K's Polar Pop lets you do you. Choose your Polar Pop cup, favorite flavor, or create your own custom masterpiece. Only 89 cents every day. Only at Circle K.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Listen to the Lawrence Holmes Show, nights 6 to 10.
Humboldt Park and Carlos. Hey, Carlos, you're on The Score. What's the opinion you were so dug in on, but were proven wrong?
Lawrence, mine was, I was 8 or 9 years old. I'm 39 years old right now. It was the mid-80s, and I swore up and down to my family and my friends that everything that Jose Canseco did was natural. I bought the baseball cards. We had the jerseys. I had the posters. I mean, we're talking about my mom spent so much money because this guy was my favorite baseball player of all time. My homie loves Ken Griffey Jr. I would tell him we would go back and forth. Canseco versus Griffey. Canseco versus Griffey. One of them is a Hall of Famer, and the other one, he came out to be a cheater.
I think about those guys doing their little forearm thing at home plate and just be like, steroids. Just like immediately, like, ah, steroids, those two guys.
Lawrence Holmes, nights 6 to 10 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station.
You've got jobs to fill, people to hire, and you're overwhelmed by it, and you're dreading it because you know there's so much to do with stacks of resumes and multiple sites and a confusing review process. However, that is all the more reason why you must use ZipRecruiter at ZipRecruiter.com/play to make it easy and fast. ZipRecruiter will send your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, and then with powerful matching technology, they scan thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience. They invite them to apply, and then applications come in, and ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates. You never miss a great match, and ZipRecruiter is so effective. 80% of employers that post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. So it makes it easy for ZipRecruiter to be the highest rated hiring site in America because of results like that. And right now, just for listening, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/play. That's ZipRecruiter.com/play, ZipRecruiter.com.
There's more to Indiana State University.
More conference championships.
More art exhibits.
More Greek life.
More research.
More study abroad.
More international students.
More to discover.
In fact, there's only one thing there's not more of at Indiana State, and that's cost. Forbes magazine includes us among the nation's best when it comes to quality and value. There's more to Blue. Learn more at indstate.edu.
Would you look at this garage? Where to begin?
Whoa, Dad, deep breaths. What if we started with that old fridge?
This heavy thing? No way.
Dad, ComEd makes it easy. They'll come and pick up our old working fridge, and they'll even send us $50.
$50, huh?
Yeah.
I got an idea. I'll give you the $50, and you clean out the rest of the garage.
Score.
Schedule your free pickup from the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program by visiting ComEd.com/fridge recycling. ComEd, powering lives. Funded in compliance with state law.
You want CarStar. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
I was a little young. I wasn't born when Respect came out, but I appreciated all her hard work and dedication.
Every single one that we're playing here today were gigantic. There's a couple that actually was a cover song where we got Bridge Over covered under water, and that was done by Simon and Garfield.
Bridge Over Covered Underwater by Simon and Garfield. Who can forget it?
I remember where I was the first time I heard that song as a young man. Changed my life.
I think my parents had it on 45.
Yeah, sure.
You put the little plastic thing in the middle so you could play it over and over again.
Bridge Over Covered Underwater.
The B-side was that silent sound.
The quiet thing that's silent. Yes. Sounding. The quiet, silent-sounding thing.
Sitting all that on a 45 is kind of difficult. You did, but somehow they managed.
That was done by Simon and Garfield.
Of course.
Absolutely it was.
Who had the better solo career?
Just so great. Just so special. It is your time right now to win $1,000 in cash on the score. If you're the lucky texter, the hour's keyword is, appropriately, record. Or maybe it's record. Or if you're Connor, it's record.
Record.
Text record to 72881 by the end of the hour. Again, the keyword is record to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win. Please do not text and drive. Message and data rates may apply.
It's my job to make sure I try to get things as accurate as I can.
Okay, well, bridge over covered underwater.
That is Simon, not part of my job.
By
actually.
Simon and Garfield.
I did not sign that page of the contract.
Yeah, I don't. I like, redlined
Mitch,
that.
No.
Yeah, I crossed
not
that
doing
out.
Doing this part.
The boilerplate language. I signed the guy. That was completely crossed
accurate?
Out.
Accurate? No.
Both sides initial.
It's
it didn't want to do that. Does Cody Whitehair have snapping yips?
Maybe.
If he's got shotgun snapping yips, he needs like electroshock therapy or something, or they need a different center.
Because they're running everything out of the shotgun.
And that ruins everything.
Everything.
It ruins everything if he can't
timing,
just...
reads, getting downfield, all of the things. All of the things.
It can't happen. It can't happen. You can't have a brand new car and then you turn the key and the engine sputters. It screws up everything. It's all timing based. Everything they do is based on snap into the hands, and then it sets off the chain of events. And when the first link in the chain is broken, nothing will work.
So we need a center whisperer. Fortunately, we employ two of them here, so that's nice to know.
Well, we've got the greatest long snapper of all time, and we have one of the great centers,
the center enthusiast
in
I
NFL
suppose.
History. I mean, the fact that we actually do have Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley on staff.
Here. Yes. So we're good to go. I just, what do you do if Cody Whitehair can't? I don't even think they're entertaining that option.
Though. Well, you've got two backup centers. Right now you got three. I mean, Hronas Grassou is here, but he's not going to be your center.
I don't think Hronas Grassou is going to be on the team.
I don't either. But we know that James Daniels can play center, and we know that Eric Kush can play center. I mean, you put one of those guys there.
And Cody Whitehair slides to guard.
Yes.
Right? Because he's one of your best offensive linemen, if not for the whole I seemingly struggle to snap the ball.
And I'm even thinking for tomorrow night. Like, you're not getting valuable practice. It's a completely wasted, useless play when that happens.
If Mitchell Trubisky has to bail out of every play because of bad snaps, then yes, you are setting things back. How many times are they having to run things in practice with bad snaps? That's, you know, during the closed portion, if you could find Ryan Pace and make him talk to you, how many times in practice are you having to rerun things because you've gotten a bad snap? Are they blowing stuff dead because you just can't start things off with them? I mean, if you're going to run timing routes and Trey Burton's going to come across in motion and all this stuff, I understand that you're going to have a bad snap in a game here and there. It's just going to happen, and you have to learn how to deal with it. But if you're going to try and get things down and actually fix stuff, learn stuff, and have Mitchell teach stuff, you can't teach from there.
You got to love the 815 texter. That song was done by Simon and Garfunkel. Not Simon and Garfield.
Yes, that's right.
And it's Bridge Over Troubled Water.
Also true.
Simon and Garfield.
Hey, yes. 815 guy? Yeah. That's why it's funny. That's why we're playing it.
Yes.
It's just like...
That's the point.
It's just like the Oscar Robertson's high school was Crispus Attucks and not Christmas Attacks. That's why it's funny.
By the way, and I know James Daniels, Rick put it up on the screen here, or Jay did. James Daniels hasn't been at center for a couple of weeks, and that is true. But if you've got snapping issues,
you can't have those in football.
No,
this is a shotgun based offense, and if your center is having problems putting the ball in the hands of the quarterback to initiate a play, you are obligated to do something about that.
I'd rather not have a season where you're sliding offensive linemen around for any reason other than James Daniels ascends as either the starting guard or starting center. I'm fine with that. If your second round draft pick ascends, cool. But if you're moving stuff around on that line, what kind of consistency, what kind of growth are you able to get?
Let me ask you this question too. What is the easiest, or what would appear to be the easiest athletic responsibility for which one could develop the yips, a mental block? Because on this list of things, we've had pitching a ball, or throwing a ball into the strike zone, throwing from second to first.
Catcher back to the pitcher.
We've had Mackie Sasser, famously catcher back to the pitcher. We have had a golfer and with various aspects of a swing. Famously, it was getting out of the waggle trap with Sergio Garcia.
Right.
At one point, 19 waggles
hit
before he could address the ball.
Right.
We've seen that happen. We've had putting, this fine motor things or complicated movements. Would shotgun snapping be, would that be the equivalent of Ted Stryker's drinking problem in Airplane?
I don't think so, because as simple as it seems, and when Patrick Manley talks about it, the nuance that's in there, it's much more difficult than it looks. Plus, you have to go hit a guy right after you let that ball go. I mean, it's a little bit to me, and obviously I've not done either at a very high level, but it's a little bit to me like trying to make the throw before you've gotten the ground ball into you. You know, before you've picked it up and actually secured it, you're already trying to make
ball
that throw.
In India, which is, you know, that
it's also very difficult.
$1 million arm.
The idea of I wonder if you're going out to make that block. You know, if you're trying
to
like
make
running
before you catch it,
before you've actually completed your snap.
Yeah,
whatever
doing
process
the,
that is
doing the second responsibility before you've completed the first.
Well, because that one's harder, and also the other guy's trying to kill you as soon as you've let that ball go.
Wouldn't being the holder be easier? That you could develop the yips at Tony Romo?
Yes, that would be the easier
because
thing.
You don't have
absolutely
imminent danger,
true.
Right?
Unless something else really goes
that's,
wrong.
It is not easy, though.
It's not easy.
Do you think that's more difficult than the snapping and your role?
Well, the holding's got to be easier than the snapping.
I don't know. Wait a second.
Wait.
The holder has to receive the ball,
and put the seams out.
And spin it. Receive the ball, put it down, and then spin it. And not only that, you have to put it at the proper lean angle preferred by the kicker.
Correct. There is also not a 300-pound man just off of your shoulder.
But just as far as the simplicity of the act.
Yeah, I can't separate the guy trying to
because
kill
it's
you
be
from
one
the
motion.
Snapping. I can't separate that, because as soon as you let it go, your next action has to be that. In fact, you probably have to, and I think Manley's talked about this, you have to know where you're going after you've snapped it, right?
Right. As a former third-string long snapper on the freshman B team at West Chicago High School.
That's a lot of qualifiers.
I'm basically Pat Manley when it comes to talking about this. And I'm with Connor that you do have to know what you're doing next, and it's all one fluid motion.
Okay.
What was that list? The former backup
third string.
Third-string snapper.
On the freshman B team at West Chicago High School, and I quit 1 month into playing.
I think they were kind of trying to tell you to. I think they were sending you that message.
Did he need to keep water from Rick?
Oh, no, I was also the backup left guard. Let's not
versatility, right?
Second team left guard.
Yeah, and we ran our 5-2 defense. I was the backup nose. When you're told your job is, if you don't break through, be the bottom of the pile. I was like,
I can do that.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know how much I want to do that.
That was the job of every nose guard, though.
But strangely, it was pick up
to
space.
The bottom of
at West Chicago, it was the same instruction you were given as the tuba player in the marching band.
Right.
Nobody quite knew how that was supposed to work.
You can't get there, just be at the bottom of the pile.
Right.
With the tuba? Just chuck that sousaphone around. Yeah, you'll be fine.
Nicely done. A lot of people noting that John Lester throwing to first. No, that's still the whole throwing thing. It's not just moving your arm a few degrees.
I think you're making it easier. I think the next time we have Pat Manley on, which hopefully, is that next week? Do we get Pat next week? I think we ask him about this, because I think you're disconnecting too much of the someone's trying to kill me aspect from the snapping aspect.
Scott in Geneva says, it's all very funny, but the best part of the Grobber audio clip, besides Garfield, is when he's searching for the correct title of the song, but running out of time to say something and settles for saying underwater. That, to me, is the funniest part.
Bridge over cover under water. Under water, and that was done by Simon and Garfield.
This is the other thing, too. I understand that the long snapper cannot be touched. Patrick Manley was the long snapper.
Even now.
Yeah, no, can't be.
You're not allowed to touch Patrick
Manley. There's a
Manley.
Halo he walks around in. You're not allowed to get anywhere close.
If you are Patrick Manley, mm-hmm. you can apply that rule once your football career is over.
You just want to. You know, just want to hug the guy. Lovable. He can't. No.
You need written permission. You express written consent.
And his family has to present that consent each time they go to hug him. It's very difficult for the kids.
Right. It has to be notarized every single time.
I mean, it's just, you know, they came up that way, so they understand it more. The center on a shotgun snap is very different. That guy can be hit. So I'm talking about the shotgun snap where Cody Whitehair is apparently having problems. He can be killed right there on the play momentarily after delivering the ball. I know you have to line up, and some of the rules have changed. Some it's made it a little bit easier. You can't just like crack down on a neck like you used to. Guys used to just kill. Just murder.
It was an opportunity.
Yeah, it really was.
Next up, Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins, the Scores Afternoon Show. We will transition with them on the Score.
This is 670 The Score, Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station, period. Thanks for keeping us on top, Chicago.
Sam 76 is a crisp, refreshing lager from Sam Adams. It's also a flavorful ale. It's easy to drink, so you can enjoy a lot of them like a lager. But it's got this tropical citrus aroma that you typically find in an ale. So it's really an awesome hybrid between a lager and an ale. A delicious, easy-to-drink lagery ale. Or maybe a drinkable, smooth and refreshing ale-y lager? You know what? Just try the damn beer. Sam 76. Hard to explain. Easy to drink. Boston Beer Company, Boston, Mass. Savor the flavor responsibly.
Vacation voucher and maximum tax deduction.
1-877 cars for kids. KARS cars for kids. 1-877 cars for kids. Donate your car today.
Also accepting boats, motorcycles, RVs, and real estate donations.
Summer's here, and that means a trip to Circle K, home of the one and only Polar Pop Cup. We're here to help you keep cool. In fact, you can't imagine anything colder. And Circle K lets you choose your Polar Pop Cup, your favorite flavor, or create your own custom masterpiece in the coolest cup around. Only 89 cents every day. Polar Pop lets you do you. Only at Circle K. Polar Pop!
You've reached the high fashion hotline.
Hi, I've got a denim dilemma. My family wants all new jeans on sale and all in one place.
Get to Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, right now all jeans are up to 50% off, starting at $15 for adults, $10 for kids at Old Navy and OldNavy.com.
Up to 50% off? Now I've got a new dilemma. How many to get?
As many as you want. All jeans are on sale, even the new 24/7 denim for the whole family. Your favorite jeans now with round-the-clock comfort.
Dilemma solved. Old Navy, here we come.
High fashion, Old Navy. Valid 813 to 822. Excludes in-store clearance.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mully and Hall. Mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
Blackhawks head coach Joel Quenneville.
What's the proper way for us to interpret where Corey is and what he said?
Well, it's encouraging where he's at today. And we feel that, you know, when he gets on the ice again, he'll get a clear indication exactly how close he is to starting.
Mully and Hall. Mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score. And 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
26.2 miles of city streets, 29 vibrant and diverse neighborhoods, 1.7 million cheering spectators. You won't want to miss the Bank of America Chicago Marathon on Sunday, October 7th. The 2018 application is now open. Apply today at chicagomarathon.com.
one of Chicago's most legendary teams, partners with 670 The Score, official play-by-play home for Bulls basketball on the radio.
Levine, baseline. Well, right-handed, powered up. Oh, my goodness.
Rainbow three, go.
What a shot.
Zitzer's going to attempt the left side three.
Yes.
The kick out, Portis, three ball for the tie. Yes. Bobby Portis has tied the ball game with a triple.
Listen to every game here on Sports Radio 670 The Score, your new radio home for the Bulls.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
The new Bernstein and McKnight Show. Middays 9 a.m. to 1.
What a memorable moment off the bat of David Bodie. David Bodie, the guy who actually hit it, joins us again on the Bernstein and McKnight Show, as he did Friday when we were talking about some of these memorable moments. And David, you said that the July 26th game-tying home run in the ninth, just another game, just another moment, keep it even keel. And if you say the same thing about last night, I am not going to believe you.
Okay, you're right. I'll give it one day, and then tomorrow.
There you go. Thank you. Good job, David. That's awesome.
You know, my wife kind of brought that up to me, is just saying, you know, sometimes baseball can just give you a moment to just enjoy. You know, just enjoy this time, this moment, this minute.
Dan Bernstein, now in middays, joined by